You're listening to an African Elements top news story for June 22, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. The hidden threat to the future of Black voting rights. The Association for the Study of African American Life and History has issued a profound call to action. Founded by the legendary father of Black history, Dr. Carter G. Woodson, this esteemed organization recently closed its extended call for proposals for its upcoming annual convention. In September 2026, scholars, activists, and community leaders will gather in Norfolk, Virginia. The central theme will celebrate a century of Black history commemorations, marking the anniversary of the first Negro History Week in 1926. However, the immediate focus of this gathering is deeply political and urgent. The organization is pivoting heavily to address the systematic destruction of voting protections in the United States. This deliberate shift in focus is a direct response to a series of highly controversial Supreme Court decisions. Over the past several years, the High Court has handed down rulings that weaken the historic protections of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. To understand this modern crisis, one must look closely at the history behind the headlines. The struggle to protect the ballot has always been linked to the preservation of Black history. Without an accurate understanding of past struggles, communities cannot successfully defend their hard-won civil rights. Dr. Carter G. Woodson founded the Association for the Study of Negro Life and History on September 9, 1915, in Chicago. As the son of formerly enslaved parents, Woodson understood the deep scars of racial oppression. He worked in the coal mines of West Virginia before earning a doctorate in history from Harvard University. He was only the second African American to achieve this academic milestone, following W.E.B. Du Bois. Woodson established the association to counter the deliberate erasure of Black contributions from the American narrative. In addition to Woodson, brilliant organizers like Mary McLeod Bethune and other pioneering women shaped the early civil rights landscape. To appreciate this legacy, one should examine how Black women contributed to the civil rights movement despite facing internal biases. Woodson believed that a group without a history stands in danger of physical and political extermination. Therefore, preserving history is not an academic exercise. It is essential for maintaining political agency and protecting civil liberties. Historically, white supremacists used historical erasure to justify political disenfranchisement. This occurred heavily during the post-Civil War eras. To understand this failure, one can examine how post-Civil War Reconstruction failed African Americans in their quest for lasting citizenship. By keeping African Americans illiterate and erasing their contributions, states easily stripped away their voting rights. Woodson saw his organization as an armor against this recurring threat. The Voting Rights Act of 1965 was the crown jewel of the modern civil rights movement. Signed by President Lyndon B. Johnson, the federal law resulted from decades of relentless grassroots activism. Bloody marches in Selma, Alabama, acted as a powerful catalyst for this change. The federal statute introduced two highly potent mechanisms to protect vulnerable voters. Section 2 banned discriminatory voting practices nationwide, mirroring the language of the 15th Amendment. Meanwhile, Section 5 established a process called preclearance. This revolutionary preclearance requirement forced areas with documented histories of discrimination to obtain federal approval before changing election laws. Consequently, discriminatory state policies were blocked before they could take effect. The impact of this legislation was immediate and profound. For decades, Black political representation grew steadily. By 2026, 70 Black members served in the United States House of Representatives, reflecting demographic realities. Furthermore, compliance with Section 2 led to the creation of 148 majority-minority districts by 2024. These districts gave communities of color a fair chance to elect candidates of their choice. On a local level, the law protected school board elections. Over 300 challenges dismantled discriminatory at-large voting systems. These local legal victories directly shaped the educational environments of millions of Black children. Indeed, at-large voting schemes often diluted the political power of minority voters. In an at-large system, candidates are elected by the entire municipality instead of smaller geographic districts. Consequently, a racially polarized majority can sweep every single seat, shutting out minority representation entirely. District-based voting is much fairer. It divides a city into distinct geographic zones, ensuring concentrated minority populations have an equal voice. This ongoing battle makes many ask, should Black people vote when systems are rigged to suppress their representation? Unfortunately, the Supreme Court has systematically dismantled these vital voting protections. The first major blow occurred in the 2013 case of Shelby County versus Holder. The court struck down the coverage formula of Section 4B, which effectively neutralized Section 5 preclearance. Jurisdictions with histories of discrimination were suddenly free to alter voting laws without federal oversight. Following this, the 2021 decision in Brnovich versus Democratic National Committee further weakened Section 2. It raised the legal standard required to prove voting discrimination in federal court. The situation worsened on April 29, 2026, with the decision in Louisiana versus Calais. In this case, the Supreme Court struck down Louisiana's congressional map, which featured a second majority Black district. The state had drawn this map to comply with a federal court order under the Voting Rights Act. However, non-Black voters challenged the map as an unconstitutional racial gerrymander. The conservative majority ruled that the Voting Rights Act did not require the extra district under those circumstances. Therefore, the state had no compelling interest to use race in its map-making. This ruling highlights the crucial difference between partisan and racial gerrymandering. Partisan gerrymandering involves drawing lines to favor a political party. The Supreme Court previously ruled that federal courts cannot review partisan gerrymandering claims. In contrast, racial gerrymandering remains subject to strict constitutional limits. Mapmakers often exploit this distinction. They use political data as a proxy for race in racially polarized states. By claiming their motives are purely partisan, they shield discriminatory maps from judicial review. As voting protections eroded, other systemic issues emerged in communities of color. This pattern mirrors the political shift from civil rights to mass incarceration that occurred in the late 20th century. In both cases, legal maneuvers diluted Black political power and restricted community growth. A new legal battle threatens to eliminate remaining civil rights protections. On June 22, 2026, the Supreme Court declined to review a critical case from Arkansas. This decision left in place a ruling from the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals. The lower court determined that private citizens and civil rights groups cannot sue to enforce Section 208 of the Voting Rights Act. This section guarantees voting assistance for disabled or illiterate citizens. This ruling represents a massive setback for grassroots defense organizations. A private right of action is a fundamental legal concept. It allows everyday citizens and advocacy organizations to sue violators of federal law directly. Without this mechanism, only the federal government, through the Department of Justice, can file lawsuits. This restriction poses a massive threat to civil rights. Private litigants have historically driven the vast majority of voting rights cases. From 2015 to 2024, private plaintiffs filed over 1,000 lawsuits, while the government filed only 21. Relying solely on the Attorney General cripples enforcement. The Department of Justice has limited resources and cannot monitor every local precinct. Furthermore, federal enforcement priorities change whenever a new political party wins the presidency. Consequently, many discriminatory local policies will go completely unchecked under an indifferent administration. This ruling effectively shifts the burden of proof away from state legislatures and leaves marginalized voters defenseless. The consequences of these judicial decisions are not theoretical. They are highly measurable and visible in recent election data. Research by the Brennan Center for Justice shows a growing gap in voter turnout between white voters and voters of color. Crucially, this racial turnout gap has expanded twice as fast in regions previously protected by preclearance. Following the Shelby County decision, 11 previously covered states quickly passed restrictive voting laws. Between 2012 and 2020, the voter turnout gap between white and Black voters widened significantly in states like Alabama, Georgia, and Mississippi. By the 2022 midterms, the racial turnout gap in these formerly protected areas was 5 percentage points higher than it would have been under preclearance. Additionally, the Louisiana versus Calais decision threatens up to 19 congressional districts across the South. These districts are now vulnerable to being redrawn to dilute black voting strength. ASALH is hosting its 2026 National Conference in Norfolk, Virginia, for symbolic and strategic reasons. Virginia was the birthplace of massive resistance in the 1950s. This state-sanctioned campaign was led by Senator Harry F. Brainerd Sr. to block school integration. Rather than desegregate, Virginia lawmakers cut off funding to public schools and authorized tuition grants for white private academies. Several school districts shut down entirely, leaving black children without any formal education for years. Today, the battleground has shifted from school doors to school curricula and library bookshelves. Many states have enacted parallel legislative crackdowns on black history. These laws restrict discussions of systemic racism and block courses like Advanced Placement African American Studies. ASALH views these educational restrictions as another form of historical erasure. In response, the organization is establishing community freedom schools to teach accurate history outside censored public classrooms. Ultimately, the struggle for the ballot is inseparable from the struggle for truth. ASALH National President Dr. Carsonia Wise Whitehead has urged communities to mobilize against these rollbacks. Whitehead noted that a racist political wall is being rebuilt in the South to disenfranchise black voters. In the spirit of Carter G. Woodson, scholars and activists are gathering in Norfolk to tear down that wall and reclaim their political power. Copyright, African Elements.